The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, I welcome special music guests, the last ones. I also cover the NFL, college football, and the Foo Fighters, music news, top movies at the box office, and much more tonight on Unsigned. Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Unsigned Show. My name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me on a Tuesday evening. And I don't know where you're located, but I'm in the good old state of Tennessee, and it's been raining like cats and dogs here for the last day or two now. Hopefully, wherever you may be, you are staying dry and warm as we head into the month of October. I guess it is fall. It's October. Good football weather. We'll get into football a little bit later on the show. And also a great music guest tonight, the last ones from Houston, Texas. A gentleman by the name of Daniel will be joining us here shortly. But before we get into all that, speaking of Tennessee, the state I reside in, and the University of Tennessee, which is in Knoxville, student was dropped off at a medical center with high blood alcohol content. The police said that he was well over 0.40. That is the point at which typically death can occur by consuming alcohol. The young student was 20 years old and was dangerously drunk, as described by a Knoxville police spokesman in a Monday statement that it was obtained by the Post. Upon extensive questioning, it is believed that the members of this fraternity were utilizing rubber tubing inserted into their rectums to consume alcohol, which obviously allows alcohol to enter the bloodstream a little bit faster, also known or referred to as butt-chugging or the good old-fashioned alcohol enema. You want to talk about getting drunk fast, I guess that's the way to do it. Campus police also found bags of box wine and some empty and some partial boxes strewn about the halls of the dorm room. And in my weird, odd sense, I was like, you know, first thing I thought was, is this red wine or white wine? You know, that's a fine Chardonnay. You're not butt-chugging there, good fine sir. Nice white Zinfandel, perhaps, or maybe a nice dry red wine. It really brings out the experience for a really full, fresh intake. Some were so excited they could barely bear to sit down. And completely unrelated news, Reese Witherspoon named her first son Tennessee. So, you know, you see how I tied those together there. Tennessee, butt-chugging alcohol enema, Reese Witherspoon naming her first son Tennessee. It all goes hand-in-hand in the good old state of Tennessee. Yeehaw! Kenny, I always find these stories interesting. This is Kanye West, and anyone knows I'm not a huge fan of this guy by any stretch of imagination. I found this story and thought I would bring it out to you. The New York label is by Kanye West is actually being sued, claiming the Grammy Award winning rapper illegally used portions of a 1969 song by New Orleans legend Eddie Bo in his number one 2010 album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, according to The Hollywood Reporter. In the complaint, Turf America says two tracks from that album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and Who Will Survive in America and Lost in the World, two tracks off that album, steal a hook by this particular artist, from Eddie Bo. And they said they actually licensed that hook and music over 15 years ago. And apparently, Kanye West label Rockefeller paid the fee, which is $62,500, but failed and refused to enter into a license agreement with the label itself, thus, you know, causing a copyright infringement. And also in 2010, Kanye West was sued again by Vincent Peters for a copyright dispute allegations from a 2006 album, West Strangers. I'm not familiar with Kanye West's music, but of course, it seems like most of it is stolen music. So, I mean, I don't have a problem. People have been using samples for years. I mean, you look at the Beastie Boys and, you know, Run DMC and, you know, the great rap artists in the, you know, the mid to late 80s, even into the early 90s. They all use samples. That's not anything new, but at least a good majority of them went to the proper channels and say, hey, we like your hook, we like this beat, whatever the case may be, we want to pay license for it, so we're not, you know, we don't have a copyright infringement, we'll give you royalties for it, just let us use that sample and hook. Apparently Kanye West is above that. What a big shocker. You know, I mean, he's displayed such class over the last several years anyway. I mean, it's unbelievable. Sarcasm. Speaking of guys who are, let's say, less palatable, Axl Rose has agreed to do a rare television interview on Jimmy Kimmel Live to promote an upcoming Guns N' Roses show at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, The Appetite for Democracy. The show begins October 31st and will run for 12 dates through November the 24th. Axl will appear on the show on Wednesday, October 24th, as is customary for the Jimmy Kimmel show to interview. The broadcast will be on 1 hour tape delay. I find it funny that they lay the Jimmy Kimmel show live. 1 hour tape delay. Motley Crue shows. You know, Motley Crue shows have been known for their wild antics, and of course, a lot of people are familiar with Tommy Lee and his roller coaster drum solo. However, the drum design is now part of a lawsuit. As previously reported, an engineer by the name of Scott King wrote a letter to Motley Crue's lawyer saying he pitched the idea to the band more than 20 years ago and was turned down. He now claims that very design is being used starting in 2011 for Motley Crue tours. It wants compensation and treatment for them using the design. Lee's lawyers responded to King's letter by denying they stole the idea. And according to TMZ, King has officially filed a lawsuit in the Los Angeles Supreme Court. He is demanding at least $400,000 in damages for stealing his design. We'll keep up to date on how that comes out for Motley Crue. I'm sure they've got $400,000. They've been around a long time and have put together some crazy tours. But interesting, they stole this guy's design, or allegedly stole this gentleman's design. Here's a music news I thought interesting. This came out a couple days ago. The Foo Fighters' Dave Grohl, frontman Dave Grohl, formerly drummer Nirvana, said to a massive crowd of New York audience this Saturday night that this is our last show without making it a big deal and going on with it. This is our last Grohl, Dave Grohl said. This is it, man. Honestly, I don't know when we're going to do this again. This is the perfect place to do it. And today he did confirm through Rolling Stone, quoted as saying, it's a good time for all of us to go away for a while. So the fighters of Foo are taking a break. I just wonder who's going to be fighting the Foo out there for all of us. Speaking of Foo, how about Justin Bieber? This is reported by USA Today. The 18-year-old pop star was about an hour into his show and was struck with a case of tummy troubles, I guess, for the young pop star. He was doing his song Out of Town Girl when Bieber suddenly became ill. He turned away from the audience and vomited all over the stage. Finally, he knows what the rest of us feel like when we hear his music. Now, another thing I wanted to mention, and this may make some people feel a little old. It definitely made me feel old. This past weekend, the end of September, marked the 20th anniversary of the release of Alice in Chains' Dirt. Take that in for a second. 20 years ago, Alice in Chains' Dirt came out this past weekend. And now last week we talked about, you know, Black Sabbath, the 40-year anniversary for Volume 4. So a little bit of music history news for you this evening as well. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, coming to the unsigned studio this evening, hailing from Houston, Texas, the band The Last Ones. Daniel, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Man, doing great. Thanks for having us.
Hey, our pleasure, man. And, appreciate you hanging with us tonight. We've had a kind of a very bizarre evening for us getting going here, but we're off and rolling now. And the band, The Last Ones, I guess, you know, anytime we have a band on, I guess the first really reaction or what we like to get into is really, you know, how did you guys get together or form as a band? How did you guys come to be?
Oh, man, it's kind of a long story, but I'll try and make it short. Really, it goes back to me and Chris, the drummer, met in high school. And started, you know, messing around, trying to write our own songs, and then he got a hair up his ass. I'm sorry. He went to school. He had to go to school elsewhere, and he relocated. And I couldn't really, you know, say too much about him. He was trying to, you know, pursue to get his education, and so I couldn't really, you know, say too much, but. Long story short, after that, he finally did come back, but was just in town for a little while, and then was shipped off to the Navy, joined the Navy, and so everything was kind of cut short. And then, I guess a couple years back, he uh, he made his way back to town and finished his little 4 years with the Navy. And he stopped by my mom's house and left a phone number and said, hey, you know, get in touch with Daniel and let him know I'm back in town. So I want to play and start doing some music again. And fast forward to now, I think that was a couple of years back, and we've been, you know, trying to write music and put a little band together since then. And it's just been going ever since.
Very cool, man. Now, I know you guys are a three-piece band. I'm also curious, how did you guys come up with the name The Last Ones, which I really think is a unique name. How did you guys come up with that?
Man, it kind of just it just came to me one time. I mean, I couldn't think of a name, and we needed a name, and I was having trouble. Everything we would throw out was just like nobody liked it, and so it stuck out to me for some reason. I can't remember exactly how I came up with it, but I was just playing with the idea of it for a few days and trying to see if I really liked it or if it worked. And, you know, I just kept thinking I liked the way that it could be looked at at different ways and mean different things to different people. So I kind of just liked that idea that, you know, it could be like the last ones in last place, like of a race or something, or it could be, you know, like the last ones on the shelf, like, hey, get those are the last pair, you know, they're kind of like a special pair or something, you know. Either it sounds kind of strange, but to me, I guess it just sounded cool in my head the way it could kind of be looked at different ways.
No, man, I'm totally with you on that. Now, you mentioned a couple names that didn't make the cut. Do you remember any of those names that people were like, no, man, don't go with that name? That's not a good one.
not offhand. I mean, Chris had a few ones I can't remember offhand, but like I think we just dismissed them so quick that I can't even really remember. The only thing I truly remember is like from when we were young, we were like 14. I mean, we were trying to name the band back then. It was like, I think we stuck with like a Blue Monster for like a 6 months or a year or something, and then we just ditched that. But I can't really remember any of the newer ones that we came up with, because it was like he wanted to call it my name, and because I'm writing most of the music, and then Vic, our bass player, had a few ideas, and I can't even remember what his were. But I think once I landed on The Last Ones and kind of ran it by them, and they kind of both agreed that, yeah, hey, it was cool and it sounded good. And we never wanted to put too much emphasis on it anyway. I kept telling them, I was like, man, it's just our name, you know, the biggest thing is the music. But when we finally did come on that, it was all like, there was no, nobody really, you know, we all kind of agreed upon it. So it was like, hey, let's just leave it, you know.
Cool. Right on, man. Now, you guys have an interesting style, you have musical influences. What are some bands that you really look up to, or really helped shape you guys musically?
Well, it's kind of weird. It's different for all of us, I think, because we all draw from different influences. Me, a lot of it comes from, like, I have a strong, you know, love for the blues. And even though we're not like traditional blues by any means, I think a lot of the influence, you know, comes in the way of just that delivery of even just on the music side, you know, especially in my guitar playing. And then I think even like in a vocal sense, just the way we put, you know, structures together with verses and hooks and stuff like that, I draw from a pretty big blues influence. And band-wise, I don't know. I mean, just a lot of the bands, like, from the 90s, I guess, were pretty influential, you know. So that met up with, like, blues influence is pretty much where I come from. All, like, a lot of the strong popular bands from the 90s, I mean, I just soaked all that stuff up as a kid. And but also, you know, loved, like, shredders and stuff like Satriani and Steve Vai and, of course, Jimi Hendrix and everything before them. And then Chris, you know, on the drums, they play a big role in our sound, too. He kind of brings almost a different feel, because a lot of, you know, his influence, he likes hip-hop, you know what I mean? He likes rap and stuff like that, but he also likes rock and stuff. But I think the love, the sound that he likes in the beats and stuff, like in hip-hop records, that finds his way into his beats. He doesn't really just, you know, make drum patterns like a normal rock drummer. You know, he's like sometimes like different little feels and grooves and stuff, so it's pretty cool. And then Vic is our bass player. He's kind of like a jazz guy. You know, he likes a bunch of jazz and throwback records, like, you know, just old soul music and stuff like that. So when we put it all together, it just kind of is like this. It's mostly rock, but I mean, we like to say, I mean, the influences are there from other, you know, areas of music, and sometimes they can, you know, be heard more, you know, evident than sometimes, and sometimes it's just, you know, straight ahead rock.
Very cool. Yeah, I think you guys' songs are kind of, you know, when you hear the songs, like, oh, that, you know, you got kind of pulls from this direction, and you have another song that, you know, kind of has a different vibe or a different feel to it. So you definitely can see where, you know, that process kind of meshes with you guys. The first song tonight, labeled Porcelain Sky, what can you tell me about that track before we get it on tonight?
That's actually one that me and Chris wrote together. We wrote that back when we were probably like 15 years old. And that was when, you know, a lot of that's definitely one of our heavier songs. And it's just, you know, back then, I guess we were just, you know, young, wanted to make a bunch of noise and play heavy as hard as we could, as fast as we could. So it's kind of, it's just got that, you know, heavy 90s rock type feel.
Very cool. Here it is, Porcelain Sky, the last ones here on Unsigned. The last ones with Porcelain Sky here on Unsigned, hanging out with Daniel from the band The Last Ones. Really, I definitely hear where you're coming from there on you know, obviously some of your guys' earlier work where you kind of have that 90s, you know, kind of feel, real kind of heavy guitar riff, good drum beat. I dig it, man. Now, you guys have an album, I believe it's either out or coming out. What can you tell me about that?
Right now, we just got the it's a little EP. It's just got four songs on it, and we're really kind of just in the process of trying to figure out if we want to go with a full length album or just release another little small batch of songs, like you know, another EP. So, just trying to figure it out right now.
Gotcha. I know a lot of bands have been doing, you know, the small EP, doing like four or five songs. I know bands like the Melvins, guys have been, you know, really been around the music industry for a long, long time, been doing that now. I don't know where you guys are as far as writing process and songs. How does that typically come together for you guys as far as the writing process is concerned? Obviously, collaboration, music, lyrics, what usually comes first for you guys?
Typically, it starts, it's just like either a riff or an idea that I'll have, even if it's not a riff, maybe just a chord progression or something, and I'll play around with it for a while and until I can, you know, just maybe make a change or a couple of changes. And once I get like a general structure of maybe two sections, like a hook and a verse section or something like that, I'll show it to the guys and just, you know, we learn the parts, teach them the sections, and then Chris will, you know, play around with different beats, and we'll just kind of agree on what we like and what we don't, and maybe rearrange some of the stuff together as far as like how the structure goes, and then just that the music usually comes first that way. And once we have like a solid structure from start to finish with, like, you know, all the sections, verse and hooks and stuff like that, then I'll kind of just ride around listening to that in the car for however long it takes until I start getting the melodies, ideas for melodies, vocal melodies. And then once I got a concept of where I want to go with, you know, melodically for the vocal line, I'll start trying to plug in the words. And then after that, we just make our little adjustments and tweak it here.
Well, cool, man.
That's pretty much how it goes.
Daniel, the next song we've got tonight is Leave You Alone. What can you tell me about this track that's off the EP?
This one is, you know, just got a little more lighter feel, definitely, than, you know, Porcelain Sky. It's just, I don't know really about how to describe it too much, but sound-wise, it's just more from just like a place of singer-songwriter type songs. It's kind of mild and chill during the verses, and then we just pick it up on the hooks. But vocally, it's just about, I guess, like a relationship, or, you know, just trying to figure out what you want to do moving forward, and just try to write it from a place where, you know, people can relate to it.
Very cool, man. Well, here it is, Leave You Alone, here on Unsigned by The Last Ones.
Yeah.
Leave You Alone here by The Last Ones on Unsigned, hanging out with guitarist and singer Daniel from the band The Last Ones. I really dig that track too, man. I mean, I think, you know, the first track, Porcelain Sky, and this track really shows the diversity and the range you guys have, man. I really dig it.
Man, definitely. Yeah, appreciate that. They're definitely different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, definitely, man. Musically, really both ends of the spectrum now. Moving on, I mean, I don't know how many, you know, playing live shows, what is your favorite part about being in front of an audience?
Man, I think just that, just being in front of the audience and getting, you know, that reaction and feeding off the energy when they get into it, you know, we get it. And it's just that whole, that exchange, I think, you know, it's just between listener and us performing is just something pretty unique. I don't think, it's hard to put into words, but I'm pretty sure that's like why it's a common thread between, you know, performers of all kinds, whether you're doing music or a comedian or whatever. It's just that energy that you get from, you know, the audience is just, I mean, it's like I say, it's hard to put into words, but it's just, I mean, it's like, it's just a great feeling.
Yeah, I totally get where you are with that, man. Have you had any weird experiences with any live shows with people or anything? Anything bizarre happened to you?
Not really with the audience. I mean, we just had like maybe some like accidents or on stage or something. Maybe like Chris will knock over a cymbal or something, and I won't even know until I look over and I see him picking up his cymbals or something, or just some crazy stuff like that. But we've never really had any like crazy fans or anything outrageous like that. But.
Right. Hey, you guys keep doing shows and write music, man. You never know. You may come across some of those crazy groupies, man. But now we kind of hit it on this earlier about your guys' you know, future plans. You know, we're obviously working on writing new stuff, whether to do an album or an EP. What other future plans and shows do you guys have lined up?
Well, we've really been just like taking some time off recently, just trying to work on new material and get it together. But we do have some shows coming up in November, and we're probably just going to start trying to play then, you know, and close out the year and get some shows maybe and then really focus on next year, actually start, you know, the booking process harder once we get this new material recorded and stuff like that.
Cool, man. Well, definitely keep us in the loop, man. You know, we try to, you know, do as much as we can here on the show to, you know, give everybody a voice and have their music be heard. And if you guys got new stuff and want to come back on, we'll always be our honor to have you guys as always, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Right on. We would definitely do that.
Right on, man. That's, you know, that's one of the reasons we started this years ago. And I think I tell everybody this on the show, man, you know, networking is huge, man. And I don't think there's enough independent stations, at least in my opinion, that are really dedicated to it. And that's one of what we want to hang our hat on. You know, we want to give people a voice, regardless of what kind of music they're playing. And, you know, you got new stuff, man, let us know, and we'll do our best to push it along the way. Now, this is kind of a hypothetical thing, but if you had a dream tour of any two bands that you guys could play with and do a big, huge stadium rock tour, what two bands would you guys play with, man?
Yeah, that's definitely a hard question. But it's just kind of tough to answer because there's so many. But I don't know. I think, if we're just talking, like you said, just dream tour, I don't know. It seems like it would be really, really cool to play with the guys in Soundgarden now that they're back together and doing their thing. I mean, that would be like, and that would definitely be a dream come true. I mean, I've always loved Soundgarden. And then I would say even Foo Fighters. I thought about that. Like Dave Grohl, he just seems like such a cool guy. But like you mentioned earlier, now that they're on hiatus, that definitely, I don't know if that would ever happen, if it would happen anyway, but maybe Red Hot Chili Peppers too. I saw them with the Foo Fighters way back when, and they just put on a really good show. I've always liked them too. I mean, those are two, like probably, you asked for two, but those are about three of my, probably my favorite, some of my favorite bands from the 90s rock, you know, that I look up to.
Right on, man. Yeah, I'm a huge Soundgarden fan. Have you heard the new single they released a couple days ago, man? Have you had a chance to listen to it yet?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've heard both of the new singles, and I like the newer one than the first one, but I can't wait to check out the rest of the stuff and just see what they're doing.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I mean, 16 years is a long time to wait in between albums, but I'm glad they finally put whatever differences they had aside and got in the studio and did an album. I think that's commendable, to say the least. Now, kind of parlaying into that question with the big tour, you know, the Dream Tour, you know, playing with bands, is there any big stadiums you would play on that? Like, any big, huge stadiums you always wish you could go to, whether it, you know, either, you know, just to go to or just, you know, it'd be really awesome to play at?
Yeah, again, just since we're talking about dreams, I mean, the sky is the limit. I would have to obviously say Houston, you know, for obvious reasons, since it's home. I guess the two big stadiums we got here are Reliant Stadium, and now that we've got the Dynamo soccer teams, they've got their little stadium over there in downtown. I think it's the BBVA Compass Stadium. Those are two nice stadiums here in town that we'd like to play. I mean, in a dream setting, again, I mean, if it ever happened, that would be home here in Houston. And then I guess just, the other major markets, the big cities, L.A. and New York, maybe, you know, Dodger Stadium and Yankee Stadium, if we're dreaming.
Yeah, right. There you go, man. You play Yankee Stadium, play Madison Square Garden. Maybe do like a double night thing or something, right?
Definitely.
Very cool, man. Now, we kind of talked, off air, via email and phone and stuff like that. That, you know, not a huge sports guy, so I always wonder, what do you do in your free time? And when you guys write music, and obviously everybody's got day jobs and all that stuff. I mean, when you're not writing music and doing the daily through life, what do you do in your free time, man? What do you enjoy?
Music does take up a lot of my free time, but when I'm not doing music, I mean, I like to. It's rare that I get to go, but I like going to the beach and doing fishing and stuff like that out there in Galveston. It's just a little, it's our beach. It's far from the nicest beaches here in Texas, but I mean, it's not like Florida or anything like that. But I like going down to the water and fishing when I can, fishing with some buddies and stuff, getting out on the boat. And Chris and Vic are more, they're more active. They they like to work out and play basketball and stuff like that. But pretty much the same too, whenever they're not too busy, they try, and music is pretty much what they're working on.
Very cool, man. Now, if people are hearing this, we'll have the link out tomorrow for people to enjoy the interview and everything. If people want to get a hold of you guys, want to hear the music and find out when the new EP is out and all that stuff, what's the way they can get a hold of you, man?
I would say the best way is definitely our main website, thelastones.com. We try and update that whenever we have, updates. Right now, it's been a while, but like I said, we've been taking off this time to work on this new material, but we'll definitely start putting out the updates on there and, letting people know about shows. And then we also have like a Facebook page and all the Reverb Nation stuff like that. I think the Facebook is, just search under The Last Ones, or the actual URL might be facebook.com, The Last Ones Music. And I think it's the same on the Reverb Nation. It's just / The Last Ones Music.
Very cool, man. Hey, Daniel, thanks for taking the time to stop in tonight, man. I know it's we've kind of had an entertaining night behind the scenes here, but I appreciate your patience and hanging out with us. And the last song tonight we have is You Don't Know. What can you tell us about that song, man?
Man, it's just that one's a little bit more rock side of things, and just got the big guitar solo at the end, and it's another relationship song.
Right on. Well, cool, man. Hey, Daniel, thanks a lot, man, and best luck to you guys, and we'll definitely definitely keep us in the loop, man, and we'll do what we can to plug you guys and give you props when we can, and feel free to stop by anytime, man.
Man, thanks. My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Hey, not a problem, our pleasure as well. That is The Last Ones, Daniel from The Last Ones, and this is You Don't Know here on Unsigned.
So
Don't Know by The Last Ones here on Unsigned. Again, special thanks to the band The Last Ones and Daniel for stopping in and chatting with us this evening. Really good stuff by those guys, and looking forward to hearing some of their new music as well coming into the new year. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for NFL Pigskin Picks of the Week.
False start, dark offense. Everyone but the center.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Ah, yeah. There we go. NFL. What a crazy week it has been in the NFL. The regular refs are back. What? All it took was one Monday night debacle and the refs are back. But here they come like rock stars entering in the stadium in their zebra outfits. The refs are back until they throw a flag on your team and you're like, screw you, ref, you suck. It's good to have the real refs back, though. Just the time management of the games and everything has been great. Again, I'm glad the NFL finally pulled their head out of their ass. Thank you, Roger Goodell, for that. And, you know, and got us the real refs back. The games are tolerable, tolerant to watch. The management is good, and these guys know the rules. How fitting. But let's start with the primetime game. My Cleveland Browns taking on the old Browns, the Baltimore Ravens. And I guess give the Browns credit, and they, you know, they lost. I mean, but with that being said, they gave the Baltimore Ravens all they could really handle and then some. And hey, when you have a team with 15 rookies and 11 second-year plays, you know, what do you expect? You know, I mean, they've been in every game, and every game they've lost, they've had the ball to either tie or win the game or have just lost it on a final drive. So, you know, I'd say everybody in the NFL, beat the Browns while you can. It looks like they have a lot of talent there. It's just a matter of molding it and shaping it, and they'd be a very, very dangerous team in the next year or two. And this time I really mean that. I think this team is in that right direction. They were giving very good teams a run for the money. Philadelphia, the Ravens, Cincinnati, you know, all those teams are playoff teams, and they're giving them a run for their money. And the Ravens do come up on top on that game on Thursday night. The Patriots heading to Buffalo to take on the Bills, a 52-28 score. The Bills were up early in this game, and then the Patriots got this thing rolling big time. The big-time division win of the Patriots. They lost two in a row. That young defense is starting to get better. The offensive line starting to mesh a little bit. And something the Patriots haven't had in a long time. That is a profound running game. That is a real danger with play-action pass and Tom Brady come January. 49ers taking on the Jets. The Jets are a plane wreck. Not even Team Tebow could to save this team. The 49ers get back on track on a 34-0 stomping of the Jets at home in front of their fans. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I'm happy their fans can spell too. Seahawks versus the Rams. Wow, I thought the Seahawks coming off the replacement call game on Monday Night Football, they get the Rams on the road. I have to admit, the Rams, another young team starting to show signs of progress, and really with a big division win, 19-13 over the Seahawks. Panthers, Falcons. Falcons remain unbeaten. It was really a shootout, and what a performance by wide receiver Roddy White for the Atlanta Falcons, who had 8 catches, 169 yards, and 2 touchdowns in a 30-28 win. The Dirty Birds are 4-0. Another team that really shaping up and being formidable, and that is the Vikings. Like a brush fire, the Vikings leave Detroit and wondering what in the heck is going on. I mean, Adrian Peterson coming off the knee injury. A lot of people said, it's going to take him some time. Look, Adrian Peterson looks great. Christian Ponder, he's been solid. He hasn't been fabulous. He's not flashy. He's just a good, solid game manager. He's using his weapons. He's using Adrian Peterson. The Vikings are 3-1 and sit atop of the NFC North. The Lions are, well, back to being just the Lions. Another loss. They're 2-2, and I don't see this team really making a turn. I see them being a 500 team. I really do. I think the Lions, injuries concerns, and that defense and that secondary is dismal. The Chiefs, Chargers, speaking of dismal, this was an ugly game. The Chiefs are awful. I can't believe they spent all this money and all these high draft picks on this defense, and they have underachieved on such a large scale, such as they have. The Chargers go to Kansas City and win 37-20. Speaking of awful teams, how about the Tennessee Titans? The local media members here crack me up in Nashville. They're like, well, the 38-14 loss doesn't sound as bad as it does. Yeah, you lose 38-14. That's not a real close football game at all. You've been getting blown out week in and week out. People around here live in a light blue haze of Tennessee blue. I don't see this team going anywhere above 7-9. And from what I've seen from that defense, they can't tackle. They can't rush the quarterback. They can't do much of anything. Guess who they get next week? They get Adrian Peterson. It's going to be a very, very long blue haze fog season in Nashville. Tennessee Titan fog, baby. Bengals, Jaguars. Tell you what, the Bengals are a fun team to watch. I said it last week, and they proved it. A.J. Green and Andy Dalton are creating a synergy. The Jags, well, they're just not very good about anything. 27-10, drubbing on their home field by the Bengals. The Ravens, Bengals, Steelers all look very formidable again in the AFC North, one of the toughest divisions in football. The Raiders taking on the Broncos. So this guy, Peyton Manning, he's starting to shape into form. 30-38 passing, 3 touchdowns and 338 yards, and an absolute destruction of the Raiders in the black hole, 37-6. Dolphins, Cardinals. Cardinals? 4-0? Could it be? Yes, it is. They're 4-0. I tell you what, it hasn't been pretty by any means, but this their second overtime win this season. The Cardinals sit atop the NFC South with a 24-21 win over the Dolphins. Look, the Dolphins were game this past Sunday, but again, the Cardinals finding a way to win these games. That's what it's about, finding ways to win football games. Doesn't matter how you do it, they're doing it. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to the first meeting of 49ers-Cardinals. That is going to be a real big-time defensive battle. Now, you look at the Redskins and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was tossed up on when I picked this game. I picked the Buccaneers for the simple fact that they're at home, young team, but it turns out that the RG3 factor was in full swing. The Skins topped the Bucs 24-22, and Billy Cundiff, the kicker who missed the AFC Championship field goal last year, ends up kicking the game winner to put the Redskins up and give them the victory. Sunday night primetime game, they have the Giants versus Eagles. The Giants went into Philly looking to keep pace in the division against the Eagles. This is a really physical game. Michael Vick, the key for Michael Vick and the Eagles, no turnovers in this game, and he ended up with a game-winning drive, but left a little too much time on the clock for Eli. But with a really odd series of flags at the end of this game, it ended up being a 54-yard field goal kick, which was short really by about 3 yards. Now, the big thing for the defending Super Bowl champions, the Giants, is that they are 2-2 right now, but 0-2 in their division on the outside looking in. That could play a big part as the season carries on. And Monday Night Football, how about them Cowboys, huh? I tell you what, the Cowboys are an interesting team. They have serious talent. They just never really seem to put it together, and last night was just that. Tony Romo, 5 interceptions? 5? And Jay Cutler was good Jay Cutler last night, and the Bears literally maul the Cowboys on their home field. Now, that left me on the week 10-5. So far on the season in my picks, I'm 31-16. As we look at this week's picks, we have Thursday Night Football. It really throws me off this new Thursday night schedule. Cardinals taking on the Rams. This is a division game, Thursday night primetime. I tell you what, I don't expect a whole lot of offense in this game. Kevin Cobb and Sam Bradford, a lot of these teams are at the bottom of the league as far as scoring is concerned. I'm going to take the Cardinals in another close game, 16-14. How about that? In a game that I think everybody's going to have their eye on, that is the Eagles heading to Pittsburgh. Now, Steelers were on a bye last week. And for the first time, you know, James Harrison, Troy Polamalu, a bunch of people are coming off injury here for the Steelers. Coming off a bye week, playing at home, I'm taking the Steelers at home in that one. Packers versus Colts. I expect this to be a fun game with Andrew Luck, you know, having to throw the ball a lot, simple fact that they're behind. I think the Packers are just a much better team. Taking the Packers over the Colts in Indy. You have the Browns taking on the Super Bowl champ Giants. Look, the Browns... will they get their first win this season? No, I'm afraid they don't. I think this Giants defensive line will overwhelm the Browns offensive line that has played pretty bad overall. The Giants will basically game plan to stop Trent Richardson and make Whedon throw the ball to unreliable wide receivers. Why wouldn't you? On the other side of the ball, still no Joe Hayden, no Phil Taylor for the Browns on corner and defensive tackle, and a slew of other injuries at safety and really unproven guys in the secondary and rookie linebackers. I expect a big game for Eli Manning, Giants, and a big win over the Browns. Falcons. Redskins, Falcons heading to Washington. Could this be the first loss for the Dirty Birds? I say no way. Too much firepower for the Atlanta Falcons, and they shoot in a big-time shootout with RG3, but the Falcons prevail with Matty Ice. Dolphins, Bengals at home. The Bengals, I tell you what, they have played some really solid football since getting blown out opening week by the Ravens. I expect them to play very solid at home again, taking on the Dolphins and a rookie quarterback. Kansas City at home hosting the Baltimore Ravens. I tell you what, the Chiefs have been awful, a major disappointment in all facets. Heck, they're even thinking about maybe even playing Brady Quinn at quarterback. That's how bad the season is going so far for the Kansas City Chiefs. And facing the Baltimore Ravens is not going to help them one way or the other. I'm taking the Ravens over KC big time. Seahawks versus Panthers. I think Cam and company will get a hard-fought win. If Cam Newton can really limit turnovers and find a way to throw the ball consistently, run the ball, play action pass, that's got to be the Panthers' formula. If they do that, I think they beat the Seahawks at home. Bears, Jaguars, this is a no-brainer here. The Bears will feast and maul Blaine Gabbert all day over dinner. Come on, Blaine Gabbert. Come on, have dinner with the Bears. Bears in a big win. You have the Bills, 49ers. This is an easy call for me. I think the 49ers all the way. The Bills, Ryan Fitzpatrick, yeah, he puts up a lot of numbers, throws a lot of touchdowns. He also leads the league in interceptions, too. Taking on that 49er defense, and they're going to see more interceptions than touchdowns. And the Vikings hosting the Tennessee Titans. I think everybody knows how I feel about that. Look, the Titans' defense is awful. They can't tackle. They can't stop the run. They can't rush the passer. Facing Adrian Peterson and a very efficient Vikings offense and a very, very underrated, solid Vikings defense. I'm taking the Vikings at home over the Titans. Saints, Chargers, Sunday Night Football primetime. This is the makings of a big-time shootout. Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, and I think the Saints get their very first win of the season at home. Monday Night Football, we have the Texans taking on the Jets. Well, I think the Texans defense is the real deal, and I think they will feast on Mark Sanchez. I mean, if Tim Tebow is the savior, the Texans defense is hell, fire, and brimstone. They will strike anyone who dare Tim Tebow in their way. I'm taking the Titans big time on Monday Night Football, and probably at least four or five goofy lines from John Gruden during the game, so worth watching for that. Teams on bye weeks this week are the Lions, Raiders, Buccaneers, and Cowboys. This has been your NFL Pigskin Pick'em. Now, moving on to college football, which is in full swing. A lot of great games coming this weekend. We're in conference play. Here's a bunch of games to keep an eye on. I think is going to shape not only the top 10, but it's going to shape really the foundation of who's really going to be in line to play for a national title. It's that time of year, getting in early October. And listen to these games coming up this weekend. In the SEC, we'll start there since the national title seems to kind of hover in that area. You have number 4 LSU taking on number 10 Florida. That is going to be a big-time game. Don't be shocked if Florida wins that game. Number 5, Georgia. Number 6, South Carolina. I think the winner of this, I think, determines who wins the SEC East. I think the old ball coach and the Gamecocks will have something for the Bulldogs. You look at the Big 12, you have West Virginia, who scored 70 points again last weekend. Can they stop anybody? That's the big question. Taking on number 11, Texas. They're really their first big test since joining the Big 12 this year. That is going to be a fun one to watch. And you have a big primetime game at the Horseshoe in Columbus, number 21, Nebraska, taking on number 12, Ohio State. That is going to be a real fun game to watch as well. And I think upset of the week, in my opinion, other than the Florida-LSU SEC matchup, I think the big upset could be Penn State over 5-0 Northwestern in the Big Ten. Probably a lot of people paying attention to that game. So back, there's just so many high-ranked teams facing off this weekend, but that's definitely going to be one of the upsets of the weekend. I think it's Northwestern falling to Penn State and losing their first game of the season. And then that's what the college football landscape looks like right now. And let's also take a look at our top movies before we close the show tonight. Number 10, Won't Back Down, at $2.6 million. The Master at $2.6 million. Resident Evil, $2.9 million. Finding Nemo 3D, $4 million. Pitch Perfect, $5.1 million. House at the End of the Street, $7.1 million. Trouble with the Curve, $7.2 million. End of Watch, $7.8 million. The movie Looper, which looks like a very interesting film, $20.8 million. And Hotel Transylvania, $42.5 million. That's my count. It's a pretty bad count. He's got a bad tooth. Hey, those are the top movies at the box office this past weekend. My thanks to the last ones for jumping on the show. Mike, thanks again for doing a good job tonight and putting in a little overtime here as far as the show is concerned. And thanks, everybody, for tuning out there. Look for the link tomorrow. Check me out on Twitter, Ryan_Unsigned. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.